Colossians chapter 2, and begin reading once again at verse number 1. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you again for your word, and we just pray your blessing upon us, that we may understand your truths, and that they might bring life to our lives, Lord. And we just pray your hand upon us this time, Lord. May your presence be with us. Just guide us in all truth, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And for each of us as believers, when we repent of our sins and trust in Christ as Savior, we are born again. And so we begin the Christian life as spiritual infants, as it talks about in one place, as babes in Christ. And just as with any infant, we begin our spiritual life lacking in discernment, lacking in strength, lacking in ability. You don't have a child walk and talk and read and write immediately out of the womb. We understand that. There is a time of development, a learning and a growing process that must take place. And in the same way, there is a growth and development process that needs to occur in our Christian life. We're not going to have it all together right away. The Christian life consists of a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of living. And so we're not going to have any sense of that when we first start out. And so as it speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 2, we as newborn babes are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. That we need to have a steady diet of God's word. It is God's truth. And as we know the truth sets us free. We need God's word so we can grow in knowledge, so we can grow in faith, so we can develop discernment. It's the thought of, as we learn in another place in the scriptures, there is the milk of the word, but there is also the meat of the word. And as we mature, we've got to be able to take that in too and discern between good and evil. And but we think about it, that just as with any child, that there needs to be a full development, otherwise we're concerned. If a child was to learn to talk and learn to read and write, but never started to crawl, never learned to walk, that would be concerning to us, wouldn't it? And in the same way, a major part of our spiritual growth process is learning to walk. And as we've been looking at this idea of learning to walk in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. And sadly, I think we can recognize there can be many who have a tremendous head knowledge of theology, but have never come to a point where that knowledge has been put into any practical use. And that's unfortunate. That should not be the way it is, and it need not be the way that it is either. And so God wants us to grow and to develop. He wants to teach us how to walk in Him and to walk in the Spirit. And of course, we understand that that is living in a totally different way from how we lived before. And as a loving parent, God is there to help us, to cheer us on as we take our first wobbly steps, and to pick us back up again where we fall. And so, as we look one last time here at this passage in Colossians chapter 2, we recognize God's exhortation through the Apostle Paul that as we have received Christ Jesus our Lord, so we are to walk in Him. And we've looked at much of what that entails in the last several weeks. That we saw first that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is a walk of faith. Faith in God's Word as a whole and in Christ's finished work on the cross of Calvary in particular. based upon what we come to understand through the scriptures of the new foundation upon which we now stand as believers because of what Christ has done, we now by faith step out to live the life that God desires for us. That we come to a point, as we've seen, that we cease from striving according to our own works, but instead we strive according to the workings of God within us. Secondly, we've seen that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is a walk of grace. It isn't us living in fear of condemnation, striving to earn God's favor to obtain His acceptance. It is the idea that we are living in God's love. We're living on the basis that He has extended His favor to us, that we are already accepted in Him. And based upon that acceptance, we by faith have access to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we now function as we are enabled by that grace that God gives to us. And last week we found that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is a walk of humility. It's not us trying to show off to God and others of all the good things that we can do, of how good a Christian we can be. Rather, it is humbling ourselves before Him, being His servants, that we recognize that we are not sufficient of ourselves for the task of living a good Christian life, of being a good testimony to others, that our sufficiency is of God, and that we understand that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so that is what we want to realize, is who we are in Christ and how much we need of Him. And so having considered all of these things, we want to bring them together and fully understand the concept that it's talking of here, of walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. And so we first need to understand that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is by its very nature a walk of continuity and consistency. Of continuity and consistency. That we sometimes have a mistaken view that that there's going to be some point in this life where spiritual development is going to be instantaneous. That based on some specific event that happens, we'll suddenly be super Christians and sinlessly perfect. We won't have the struggles with sin that we've had before. That some even have different names for it. For some it's called the second blessing or what have you. But in looking at the scriptures, that isn't how it really works. And some as well figure, well, there's some secret to spiritual success. If there's just this magic formula that I follow, if there's a certain discipline that I undergo, that's going to guarantee my success. If I do this thing, then everything is going to fall into place. And again, that's not really how it works. And we want to understand this idea of walking in Christ, that learning to walk and to walk consistently and continually, that's the idea that we're developing a pattern of life, a way of living. And we continue in that way of living, and it is through that new way of living that we're transformed from what we once were, and that we find daily victory. But you think about it, for a baby taking his or her first steps, for the parent it is an exciting time, and I think for God, as our Heavenly Father, it's an exciting time for Him to see us as believers when we're new in Christ, taking our first steps in faith, that it's exciting for Him as it is for us as earthly parents to see our children take their first steps. But we recognize as parents that there's a big difference with a child of taking steps and being able to walk. Because a baby can take a few steps and then fall, take a few more and fall, but until they're at a point where you're not holding on to them, or they're not holding on to any furniture, and they can be at one end of a room and they can walk all the way to the other end by themselves, it isn't until that point that you know, okay, they know how to walk. And for us as believers, I think our experience can be very much like that of a babe learning to walk. That we take a few steps forward, we're doing good, but then we fall down and we have to get back up again and start over. That we have a victory, but then it's followed right away by a defeat. We have a spiritual high, followed by a spiritual low. And we wonder, what is that, how it's supposed to be? We want to understand that that's really that's only supposed to be a stage that we're passing through on the way to learning to walk in Christ and the spirits of Christ continually and consistently. That we should not and we need not have this roller coaster Christianity where we're up and down. One day we're great, one day we're depressed, one day we're having victory, the other day it just seems that the devil has our number in absolutely everything. That's not what should be the case, it need not be the case. And we don't need to make the same mistakes over and over again. It's a thought that when we do have a victory in our Christian life, we need to actually take a minute to evaluate, okay, how did I get this victory? How did this happen? And when we evaluate, we realize is because I relied upon the Lord, I looked to Him for strength, I didn't think I could do it myself, and that's what got me the victory. And then on the other side, when we have a defeat, we want to realize, well, okay, why did that happen? What did I do that I didn't do the time before? And we think, okay, well, this time I thought that I could do it myself. I was kind of full of myself, and I didn't look to God like I did before, and that's what brought the defeat. And it's the thing is that you think in the story in the Old Testament of the Israelites as they were going in to take the Promised Land, that they had a great victory at Jericho, where God brought them the victory miraculously. But then right away they went to Ai, and they had this idea, oh, well, we can take this easy. We don't even need to bring everybody out for it. Let's just bring a few and we'll have an easy victory. And they found that it was much more difficult than they thought. And there were other issues as well. But with all of that, we want to learn from their mistakes, learn from our own mistakes, that we don't continue on, that we want to develop a consistency of life. We want to learn not just to take a few steps, fall down, and start over. We want to make progress. We want to actually learn to consistently walk in Him. And so that's the idea when it says walk ye in Him, that we want to strive to develop that continuity, that consistency to our Christian life. One, for our own sake, because we could understand it's so much better way of living than being up and down. Thinking of like Elijah, of how he had the great victory on Mount Carmel where he defeated the prophets, but then the next chapter we find him under a juniper tree wishing that he was dead. That was his experience. That can sometimes be our experience, but that's not what we want it to be. We want to have that continuity and have that consistency in our life. We think as well for the sake of others, that we want to be a testimony to others. It's the thing is that we have good days and we really kind of hope that our neighbor will see us on our good day, but then when we have a bad day, we kind of stay in the house because I don't want anybody to see me at this place because it's not a good testimony. That we want to have that consistency, that even when we are having a bad day, that we're still exemplifying Christ to our neighbor. And so in those ways, for our sake, for the sake of those around us, we want to develop that consistency and continuity to our Christian life. So secondly, we need to understand that not only is walking in Christ and the Spirit of Christ a walk of continuance and consistency, it is also a walk of necessity. Necessity. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18, where it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." That it's the thought that we need to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, we will be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And we don't want to do that anymore as Christians. We know that God definitely doesn't want us to continue on in that anymore. And we think of what Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, of how he testified of how that in him dwelt no good thing, to the will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I find not. That it was so frustrating to him that he just couldn't find a way to do that. He wanted to do right and he couldn't. He wanted to stop doing wrong and he still was doing it. And he said, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But then we see in Romans chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, that I was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That we understand that from the Scriptures, that walking and living in the flesh is bondage to us. It is death. It brings us into condemnation. Indulging in sin as a believer, as a child of God, is totally unacceptable. That we're not to allow sin to have dominion over us anymore. But as well as we saw in Romans chapter 7 and other passages, trying to keep sin at bay in our lives by the law, by trying to establish these different rules, that we're trying to keep the flesh under control, that's not going to solve our real problem. We're still operating the flesh. And really what we're doing is we're switching from one form of bondage to another. Because it's the thought, if we ever stop doing those things that we have in our list, that then the flesh is going to come roaring back. That the whole idea is we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. It's absolutely necessary we learn to do that. Otherwise, as it says, we will be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The law cannot help us. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit so that we can experience the liberty that Christ has won for us. And we want to recognize that this is something that is a necessity for us as believers. There's too much at stake for us to be learning this and failing to grasp it and procrastinating in learning how to do it. That we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, as it speaks of in Ephesians chapter 4. We need to walk as children of light, manifesting the light of God and of His truth to those around us. That we want to be an example to believers around us. We want to be a testimony to the lost. That all of that comes as we learn to walk in the Spirit. And so we realize that it is an absolute necessity to us, and so we have to learn how to do it. But thirdly, we need to understand too that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is also a walk of companionship. Of companionship. While we are seeking to walk in Christ, we recognize as well that we are learning to walk with Christ at the same time. Yes, we do know that Christ has ascended up into heaven. He is now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But we recognize too that because He is God, He is omnipresent. That He Himself promised just before He ascended to heaven, He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us to muddle through life all by ourselves. That He has given us of His Spirit. He is as close to us as He can possibly be. And He wants us to be walking with Him, to recognize and rejoice in the reality of His presence with us each day. It is by faith in His Word that we realize the relationship that we now enjoy with Him. And when we want to foster and allow that relationship to flourish, we want to enjoy fellowship with Him. That we read in other places of how He wants to be yoked with us. That He says, "Come ye all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. From meek and lowly of heart, for my load is easy and my burden is light." I don't think I have quite the right words there. But it's that thought that He wants to help us. He wants to be yoked with us. He wants us together to be able to accomplish many things that we could never do on our own and in our own strength. And so we want to recognize that if we're walking in Christ, it's the idea as well of walking with Christ. And we think in different people in the Old Testament, we think of Enoch, who was testified that he was a man that walked with God. We think of Abraham, who was the friend of God. We think of Moses, how it said, "There rose not a man like unto Moses whom the Lord knew face to face." That the relationship he had with them, and that was in the Old Testament, we realize in the New Testament, with all that he's accomplished, he wants to have that same relationship with us. And so we want to learn to do that, to walk with God, to be the friend of God, to know Him face to face, to have that companionship and have it be real to us. That it isn't something where we just look at Him as being way up in heaven and we're struggling down on earth and hope that when we get to heaven that He'll be pleased with us. It's instead realizing He is with us and He wants to help us and enable us in all that we do so that we can have victory. And that leads us to a fourth thought, and that is that walking in Christ and in the Spirit of Christ is a walk of dependency. Of dependency. That learning to walk spiritually differs from learning to walk physically. In that learning to walk physically, the time comes as a child when you can let go of your parents' hands and you can toddle off all by yourself. But the thing is that in learning to walk spiritually, what actually happens is we learn to never let go of God's hands because we need His help all the time and every time. There is one song that goes and says, Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. The valley's too deep and the mountain's too high. Down on my knees, I learned how to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. And that's, there's so much truth to that that song, and just really how much we need Him for so many things, and how much as we go through life, how much we realize that so often that we think that we're tough, especially as men sometimes, we think, well, I can handle everything, I have strength, I have ability, I have wisdom, but so often there comes things that are beyond our ability to handle, that our strength is not good enough for it, that there's things that we cannot do, and how much we need Him, and how much we need to learn to lean upon Him, to rest upon Him in all things through our life. And we think of it, Jesus explained it in terms of Him being the vine and we being the branches in John chapter 15. And it's a sense that the stronger and the more continuous the connection that we have to Him who is the source of life, the stronger and the more fruitful we become. That we cannot, it says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. We have to be connected to Him. We have to walk in Him, walk with Him each day. That is necessary. He says further down in that passage, He says, without Me, ye can do nothing. And again, we need to realize the truth of that statement, because a lot of times we do try to do a lot of things by yourself. And again, we find that it doesn't count. We don't get anywhere. It doesn't produce true fruit, that we want Him to be working in us to produce that fruit of the Spirit. That it's the idea that our works, our attempts to try to accomplish things for Him are always going to be insufficient, and we need His grace every day. And it's when we humbly recognize our weakness that is when we find our strength in Him. That as we talked about the idea of going to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need, that if we understand our need, we're going to go there to have Him meet our need. But so often we don't go because we think we're fine. We think we can handle it on our own. And whenever we do that, that's always going to be when we're going to fail. And so when we learn that every day that we make it a pattern of our life, I need to walk with Him, I need His grace for the day, I need to go by faith to access that grace, and what I have in myself is not sufficient, that's when we're going to find the strength that we need. That's when we're going to truly be walking with the Lord. And so we want to recognize that we can't do it without Him, that we need the Lord all the time. And that is why we need to consistently and continually be walking in Him and with Him. But furthermore, we need to understand too that walking in Christ and walking in the Spirit of Christ is a walk of companionship and of dependency, but as well is also a walk of submission. Of submission. Because too often we can get in our minds this idea, well, I have what I want to do. I have my own agenda, my own plan, and I'm going to step out into the world today, and God, I want you to come along and bless everything I do. And the thing is that we want to realize, if we are walking in Christ, if we're walking with Christ, if of the two of us, if either of us is going to have the right to call the shots, who deserves to be able to lead the way and expect the other person to follow them, it's not us, it's Him. And so it's learning to walk with Him and having Him lead the way, that He wants to guide us, He wants to direct us. And a lot of times our trouble comes is because we're trying to go our own way and we're actually departing from Him, and things happen and we're like, well, Lord, why do you let that happen? He says, well, I was pointing you this way and you abandoned me and went this way, and this is why you have the trouble that you have. That we want to learn to submit to His leadership, to His will. We want to trust His judgment. We want to allow Him to lead us. And we see that in the Scriptures, that in passages in which it speaks about walking in the Spirit, it also speaks of being led of the Spirit, that there is a connection. Galatians chapter 5 that we read, that it began with the idea, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not be fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 18 it says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So there we see there's a connection, that walking in the Spirit and being led of the Spirit is together. That if we're with the Lord, that we're going to go where He goes. We're going to allow Him to lead us. That it isn't us leading and Him just following along. It's us going where He wants us to go. That we see as well in Romans chapter 8. It begins with, as we've read about, talking about walking in not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That we see in verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in a way that sort of gives a sense of what we should be defined of as God's children, as ones who are led by the Spirit of God. That God is our Father, Christ is our brother, He's our Master and Lord, that the Spirit is within us, and that we're obeying, that we're following how we've been led, and that we're not led astray by other things, that He is the one that we follow. And that sense, if we have a companionship with Him and a dependency upon Him, that we're right there, we're holding onto His hand, because we know that He's leading us right, and we're not going to let go. And that's, you can think sometimes as parents, when you're holding your kid's hand, that you're going in a place and you have a place to go this way, but the toys are over that way, and there's that straining and pulling. It's like, please, let's go this way. Please, let's go this way. But it's like, does a person need to go there? No, it's follow this way. And having that wisdom as a parent and to not allow yourself, of course, to be the one that's getting dragged around, that you try to set the example. It's the same with the Lord, that there's a whole lot of things that we can pursue after in life that are not to our good, they're to our harm. And He's trying to guide us into something better than that, and something higher than that. And so we need to trust Him. We need to rely upon His wisdom. And it's the sense as well that walking in Christ and the Spirit of Christ, it's really a developing a sensitivity to Christ's Spirit within us, that we're not grieving the Spirit and we don't quench the Spirit, as it talks about in different passages. That if we want to go one way and the Lord says to us, no, that's not what I want for you, that's not my best for you, that we stop and we go the way He wants. We don't continue and we jump into what we know to be grievous to Him. And as well, if He's leading us to go in a certain direction, to go to a certain place, talk to a certain person, do something specifically, that we embrace that. We don't squelch it. We don't try to throw cold water and say, no, Lord, I want to just stay here and do my own thing. But there's so much, as we get close to the Lord, we realize where He's trying to push us forward to do things for Him. And we can have the assurance, if He's guiding us into something, He's not going to push us in and then step back and watch us flounder and fail. That if He's putting us forward into something we can know. He's with me. And if I follow Him, I can see great things happen. And I think that sometimes, sadly, we miss a lot of times where we can experience victory and being used of God because He's leading us and we're holding back. That we say, no, I don't want to try that. That's out of my comfort zone. And the Lord says, yes, I know it is. And that's why I'm pulling you out, because I want to show you something you've never seen before. And so learning to do that, learning to follow Him, that as we looked about last week, God is looking to those who tremble at His Word. That those who hold God's Word as the rightful authority over their lives, that it is, that are ready to respond to whatever the Lord directs them as they understand it. And so it's that thought that it is walking in Christ is a walk of submission, that where we truly recognize ourselves to be His servants, and we walk according to the light that He gives us. But finally as well, we want to understand that in all of this, the walking in Christ and walking in the Spirit of Christ, it is a walk of love and devotion. But it should never be a drudgery. It should never be a burden to us. It should be a joy that Christ has shown such great love to us, that He loved us when we were yet sinners. While we were enemies of God, He gave His life for us. His mercy and His grace and His goodness is so beyond what we deserve, so but beyond what we can even comprehend. And He has pulled us out of the miry clay. He has set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. And He has put a new song in our hearts. And He now calls us to His side to walk with Him and to walk in Him daily and to enjoy the blessings of His fellowship. And through that closeness to Him, undergo a transformation, a metamorphosis from the sinner we once were to one who is a reflection of Him. And why would we resist that? Why would we pull away from that? That because He has loved us so much, we want to respond in love to Him, that we want to reciprocate that love, that He's calling us to something greater than we've ever experienced. Why would we want to continue to live the life that we lived before we were saved? He wants us to live a life that is higher, a life that is greater. He's calling us unto Himself. And the thought that we can live and walk daily in His love, just really enjoying all the blessings of what He has done for us, and daily what that when we understand His grace, it isn't just we rejoice in the grace of when He first saved us, but just daily where we see His grace and His favor upon us as we ask for His help and He gives it. That when we're weak, that He makes us strong. That just again and again that we can rejoice in the love that He shows to us. And we want to seek to reciprocate that love. That if we have that love, that it's not going to be a burden, it's not going to be a drudgery, it's something we're going to be excited about. That we long to be at His side, we long to be with Him, we long to walk in His presence and have the Spirit empowering us for daily life. That we think that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. That's really a lot of what the whole commandments of God are for us to do. And before, as we were sinners, we didn't have any sense of that, any understanding of even how to love like that. But it's the idea that as we walk with Christ, that even He's teaching us how to love, teaching us how to love Him in return. And we want to continue in that. And it's a thought that Christ has committed Himself to us, despite all our failings. He doesn't say, well, you need to fix yourself up, and then I'm going to love you, then I'm going to accept you. He says, I love you, and I accept you, and I know all your failings. I know all your inadequacies. I know all your problems that you have, but I still love you. And really, we understand is the power of that love and that acceptance that is what transforms us. That goodness of God that leads us to repentance, that leads us to change in our life, where we think of in terms of how it talks about of how Christ loved us as a church and gave Himself for us, not when we were all good and worthy of His love, but He loved us so that He might present us to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We could say that's definitely not where we are at this point, but one day we will be in it. It's because of His love and the transforming power of His love. And so, as God's people, we want to fully understand what God is calling us to. It is, as we've looked at, it is a walk of faith. It is a walk of grace. It is a walk of humility. It is a walk that in which we need to become consistent in. It is a very necessary walk for us to have victory over sin in our life and be a testimony to others. It is a walk of companionship with Christ, and it is a walk of absolute dependence upon Him. It is a walk as well of submission to Christ as our Master and King, but as well it is a walk of love with Christ as our Savior, as our brother and our friend. And so may the Lord help us all that we would cease from the old way of living, that we would take His hand, that daily we would learn to walk in Him and in His Spirit so that we might experience His transformative power in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word, and we thank You for all that You have secured for us through the death and resurrection of Your Son. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to walk in You, to not be distracted by the things of this world or by the flesh, but that we would fully embrace all that You desire for us, Lord, and that we would learn each day to walk in You and in Your grace. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn before we conclude this morning, number 264.